morning. Elizabeth's got a cold, and James apparently doesn't like leading singing, so they brought me up again. We're going to sing from the blue hymnal, number 6. We're going to stand and sing here in this place.
Good morning. Our call to worship is number 661 out of the Blue Book. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith. Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus the Christ.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. It's nice that the rains have let up for us so that we can make it out without getting too wet. I'm not aware of any guests that need introduction, but if there's anybody that should be introduced or if you'd like to introduce yourself, if you could do so.
I'd like to introduce my extended family here. We have my niece, who's born today. We have Karen, Dan, and Harvey
Paul. Welcome. Anybody else? Okay, announcements. I'd like to start with number one. Anne-Marie Giesbrecht would like to thank everyone for the food and well wishes. Please continue to keep Anne-Marie in your prayers as the healing continues. Number two, Peter Jansen and the family would like to thank the congregation for all the cards, flowers, visits, and prayers following the passing of Peter's wife, Margaret. One that didn't make it into the bulletin in time. We would like to extend our deepest sympathy to Linda Enns, Irene Seifert, and Deanna and Harry Neufeld on the passing of their husband, brother, and cousin, Henry Enns, on Wednesday, September 17th. Funeral services will be held on Tuesday, September 23rd at 2 p.m. at the Thompson in the Park Funeral Home on McGilvery. Please keep the family in your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. There's many announcements in the bulletin. I'd like to focus mostly on ones that are fairly urgent that are coming up soon. Number five, our first Willing Helpers meeting of the season will be on Monday, September 22nd at 7 p.m. There are many things to be discussed, and coffee and dainties will be served. I like dainties. Should be a more masculine term for them, though, I think. Number six, a zinc group potluck gathering will take place on Sunday, September 28th, so that's next Sunday, at 4:30 p.m. at James and Kim Zacharias' home. Number seven, also on September 28th, the baby boomers of North Kildonan, those in their 50s and 60s, will be going to the Assiniboine Park Zoo for the afternoon. More information in there as well. Number eight is a thank you to everyone who has volunteered for the Sunday school program this fall. We have a full slate of teachers, helpers, and some leaders, crafters, and bakers. Sunday school registration will take place next Sunday, with classes beginning the following week. And One that did not make it in was the Ladies Friendship Bible Study. We'll meet Tuesday, September 23rd at 10 a.m., just says 10, I'm assuming that's a.m., to continue in the study of the Gospel of Luke. And there was an error I'd like to point out, number 20, that the Friends of the Mennonite Center in Ukraine, that there's a fundraising dinner. It's supposed to be Saturday, October 25th at Douglas Mennonite Church, not the 5th as shown. At this time, I'd like to open up the microphones for a time of sharing, if anyone has something that they would like to share with us.
Brian, Dick, just as an add to one of the announcements for the baby boomers, it's come to our attention that there might be a few people who would like a ride to the zoo. We'll meet in the parking lot here just before we leave, so if you need a ride, just come and I'll be there, so we'll find a ride for you. Thanks.
Thanks. Anybody else?
This is about Bethania again. I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago. I still have 6 places at a table, and if you would kindly give me a call this week, that would be great. We do want to make sure that we have at least a couple of tables representing NK at Bethania. And just to let you know that the fundraising is always for the spiritual program at both Pembina and Bethania. And there are certainly critical issues going forward over the next 5 to 10 years where if we don't have more in terms of fundraising efforts, that program wouldn't be able to continue because that's not something the government funds. So if you would like to come and attend our fundraiser and in any way assist Bethania, please give me a call and I will happily bring you those tickets.
I would also like to thank everyone for continuing to donate those little tin can tabs. They go to my nephew's son and nephew's son Harley towards a wheelchair. So their faces when we give them these big bags of tabs is really wonderful to know that there's so many people behind them on their journey. If you would bow your heads for the prayer of God's people. Dear God, we gather today to worship you, to learn who you are, and to learn who you want us to be. Please be with those in our church family who are mourning the loss of people they loved, those who are enduring or recovering from illnesses or surgery, and those who are aging and in need of comfort. Help us to help our church council to develop a constitution that not only meets our needs, but yours too. Help us to understand what your love looks like as our wider church family tries to determine how to respond to marginalized members of our society. Be with us as we try to discern what we want our city to look like as we move into election season. Be with our world leaders as they try to determine how to move the world in a direction of peace. And also, we pray that you are with the people of the world who are experiencing horrific conditions of war, turmoil, and natural disasters. Help us to comprehend that in addition to those horrible conditions, they are also dealing with the same issues we are: loss of loved ones, enduring or recovering from illnesses and surgery, and aging. They are more like us than different. Please be with us all. Amen. If you'd open your hymnals to number 227.
This is, I believe, brand new, number 227, Two Fishermen. So Trudy's going to play it all the way through, and then we will sing it to the best of our abilities. It's a fairly simple tune. And we're going to stand again because we haven't been standing enough.
Thank you.
if the children could come up now for the story.
Good morning. Can everyone see what I have on my lap? It is a lunchbox. I was thinking that today maybe we could have a picnic. What kind of things would you bring to a picnic? Sandwiches? Candy? Pop, something to drink, yes. Wasp spray would be very important, although they're not so nasty as they have been other years. So today, the story that Astrid's mom is going to be telling us has something to do with, well, it is actually the story of Jesus feeding lots of people a picnic. And the story goes that Jesus and his friends were going someplace where they could rest. But when they got where they were going to, they couldn't rest because there were a bunch of people there waiting to hear Jesus talk. So he forgot that he was tired and hungry, and he helped them. But then it got to be time to eat. And that's one thing that's the same about everybody. Does everybody have to eat? Yeah, we all have to eat. And so the disciples said, Jesus, tell them to all go away because we do not have enough food for them. And Jesus said, he didn't really want to do that. And then a little boy came and he said, I have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, do you think if I pulled out 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish from this bucket, of lunch bucket, would it be enough to feed everybody in this church? No, and there's not even 5,000 people here. But Jesus took that bread and the fish and he blessed it and he handed it out, and you know what happened? Everybody had enough to eat. And after they all finished eating, Jesus sent his disciples, they were the first recyclers, I think, to collect all the crumbs, and there was 12 baskets of food left over, all from the 5 loaves and 2 fish, 7 things. So, I'm not Jesus. I can't make my little lunchbox be enough for everyone, but I think I can make a little bit of the story maybe stick with you. When I open my bucket here, I hope none of you have allergies. Does anyone have allergies? Fudgios? No. I'll bring you something next week, okay, Luca? I'll feed you a cookie. And what I'm hoping is going to happen is that you will use this cookie. And every time you see Fudgios from now on, you'll remember, hey, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it'll be a way for you to remember the Bible story. Okay, so we'll pray first, and then I'll give you the cookie, and you can go sit with your parents. Dear Jesus, help us remember that when we give what we have to you, no matter how small, even a little bit is more than enough. In your name we pray. Amen.
We didn't have 7 bags of leftovers, unfortunately. Now it is time for the offering.
This piece is in German. It has a fairly simple message, just that the Lord will lead the doubters so that their souls may rest in the righteous place.
Our scripture reading for today is Mark 8, 1-21. At about this same time, he again found himself with a hungry crowd on his hands. He called his disciples together and said, "This crowd is breaking my heart. They have stuck with me for 3 days, and now they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll faint along the way. Some of them have come a long distance." His disciples responded, "What do you expect us to do about it? Buy food out here in the desert?" He asked, "How much bread do you have?" 7 loaves, they said. So Jesus told the crowd to sit down on the ground. After giving thanks, he took the 7 bread loaves, broke them into pieces, and gave them to his disciples so they could hand them out to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He pronounced a blessing over the fish and told his disciples to hand them out as well. The crowd ate its fill. 7 sacks of leftovers were collected. There were well over 4,000 at the meal. Then he sent them home. He himself went straight to the boat with his disciples and set out for Dalmanutha. When they arrived, the Pharisees came out and started in on him, badgering him to prove himself, pushing him up against the wall. Provoked, he said, "Why does this generation clamor for miraculous guarantees? If I have anything to say about it, you'll not get so much as a hint of a guarantee." He then left them, got back in the boat, and headed for the other side. But the disciples forgot to pack a lunch. Except for a single loaf of bread, there wasn't a crumb on the boat. Jesus warned, "Be very careful. Keep a sharp eye out for the contaminating yeast of Pharisees and the followers of Herod." Meanwhile, the disciples were finding fault with each other because they had forgotten to bring bread. Jesus overheard and said, "Why are you fussing because you forgot bread? Don't you see the point of all of this? Don't you get it at all? Remember the 5 loaves I broke for the 5,000? How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up?" They said, 12. "And the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many bags of leftovers did you get?" 7. He said, "Do you still not get it?"
Good morning. So I seem to have come down with a bit of a cold this last week, and I beg your forgiveness, but I may have to blow my nose during the sermon. Carrie very generously offered to cause a distraction, so you wouldn't notice if I had to do it, but I think I'll just excuse myself and turn around and try not to do it into the mic. And I also may have to drink a sip of my tea here. I apologize in advance for that. Okay, so understanding who Jesus is. So we've been working through the book of Mark, and in these chapters from 6 to 8, there's a lot going on. Jesus sends out his disciples 2 by 2 to try their hand at teaching and healing on their own. We hear the story of how John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus walks on water and condemns people for blindly following traditions. Jesus does some healing and lots of feeding of people. And through all of this, people are constantly wondering and asking each other, who is Jesus? Who is this guy doing all these amazing things? And understanding who Jesus is has a lot to do with understanding who he isn't. People want to pigeonhole Jesus to fit what they believe he should be. Now, the people were speculating on who Jesus was. The people in his hometown called him the carpenter, in a sense saying, he's not special, he's just like us. And some thought he was Elijah, some thought a prophet, like one of those from long ago. But Herod, in his guilt over John the Baptist's death, is convinced that Jesus is John come back from the dead. The Pharisees see him as Mary's son and cannot stand that he preaches with such authority. And the disciples, who should know him best, have no clue who he could be. So I want to talk a bit about the Pharisees' view of Jesus and then the disciples. But first, I want to talk about food, because there is a lot of eating going on in these chapters. So Jesus is an amazing speaker.
people have been listening to him for 3 days, giving no thought to their physical needs. You get the picture from these chapters that they were just running behind Jesus wherever he went, just desperate to hear more of what he had to say. They were so caught up in what he was teaching that they even forgot about food. Wow. Have you ever forgotten to eat? I actually have a friend who she forgets to eat. It's never been my problem, but she says she gets so focused on what she's doing that there's no room for the thought of eating. All her thoughts are focused on what she's doing. And that's what happened to these people who are listening to Jesus. But Jesus has compassion for them and tells the disciples they need to be fed before they leave or they might faint on the road home. He is a good shepherd, concerned for his people when he cannot be with them. It seems to happen a lot that people get caught up in what Jesus is saying and no one remembers to bring enough food along. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 and here are 4,000 more that need to be fed. Do these people understand who Jesus is, or do they just want to listen to what he says with no thought of actually putting what they hear into practice? So the Pharisees, they get a bad rap in the New Testament. They're always lurking around the edges of Jesus' ministry, trying to catch him making a mistake. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law, and I'm sure Jesus was making them crazy with all the tradition breaking he was doing and encouraging others to do. They were always ready to pounce. Now they think they have him again when they see the disciples breaking some of the laws around food. The disciples ate food before ceremoniously washing their hands, which could have been defiled by interacting with Gentiles. And is hand washing a good idea to prevent the spread of germs? Absolutely. Will not washing your hands cause you to sin? No. And don't let your mother tell you otherwise. Jesus responds to their accusations by quoting Isaiah saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." How often do we focus on the letter of the law rather than the spirit and use tradition to exert control over others and make ourselves feel superior? Tradition can make outsiders feel even more outside and can act as a barrier to us reaching out to others. Now, I don't know how many of you will recall a sermon I preached on August 17th, 2008. Anybody? No? I even did part of it in German, so I thought maybe it would stick out in your memory. But as I was writing this sermon, the hand washing seemed very familiar to me, and so I looked back, and there was this passage again in a sermon I preached on traditions, and how it was not following our Mennonite traditions that would guarantee us a spot in heaven. But we cling to these traditions as if they are our salvation and not Jesus alone. Jesus calls us to reflect God's love to those around us by being cautious not of what goes in our mouth, but what comes out. Then the Pharisees ask Jesus for a sign. And it's a little bit different than the version that James just read for us. But in my Bible, it says Jesus sighs deeply or groans, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, after the Pharisees ask him for another sign. And I just love the thought of Jesus just sighing. I'm sure he's thinking, these people will never get it. How many demons do I have to cast out before they'll believe? Jesus has done all these amazing things, but the Pharisees want another sign. Gary talked about listening but not hearing last week, and this week could be a case of seeing but not believing. They just can't believe what they've already seen and ask Jesus to show them one more time. Have any of you ever asked for a sign from God? I asked for a sign once when I was about 13. I remember praying and praying for a sign. The next evening, I settled down to watch some Dukes of Hazzard or Fall Guy or something similar. And in the middle of the show, the picture on the TV was suddenly contracting, getting smaller and smaller till the only a pinprick left in the middle of the screen flared and went out. I remember sitting there horrified. My jaw just dropped. I was sure I had just been given my sign from God. But in a way I had not anticipated. I wanted a dove to come down and land on my shoulder, or a rainbow to shine through my window. God gave me what I asked for in a way I was sure not to miss. My dad, upon finding out the TV was unfixable, declared that with summer just around the corner, we would not be replacing the TV until fall. I thought to myself, this is what they mean when they say, do not test the Lord your God. I never asked for a sign again, because I recognized my sign when I asked for it, and I learned my lesson. The Pharisees do not recognize the signs Jesus has already given them, and Jesus refuses to play their game and give them more signs. The Pharisees want Jesus to hold up their laws and be their champion for tradition. They want a Messiah they can control, and one who will jump when they ask for a sign. But that isn't who Jesus is. Jesus will not let them pigeonhole him into their version of what the Messiah should be. Jesus upholds his values throughout his time on earth, refusing to take the easier path whenever it is offered him. This is the Jesus we need to understand and emulate. How often do we try to make something Jesus said fit better with the way we want to see things? It's hard to look at Jesus' life and ministry and live our lives that way, to uphold our values without being rigid in our actions, to be open to people who hold different values from us, and even show them respect and compassion. The disciples, who should know Jesus best, hardened their hearts to the truth because the truth was too big for them to understand. Despite all they had seen and experienced with Jesus, they could not yet bring themselves to admit the truth. I want to focus a little closer on chapters 8, verses 14 to 21, when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. So again, the disciples forget to bring food. And Jesus says in verse 14, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." The disciples completely misunderstand what Jesus meant and think he's talking about their lack of bread. They start to argue about it and who should have remembered to bring it. The yeast he's talking about is strife or arguing amongst themselves, and they do exactly what Jesus warned them about. Jesus, upon hearing them fighting over bread, reminds them about the miracles he just performed around providing food, but they still don't get it. One commentary I read said that this highlighted Mark's depiction of the disciples as slow learners. I like that depiction because I often feel like a very slow learner, repeating the same mistakes over and over and being surprised when I get the same results. It's easy for us to sit back and gloat about how silly all this questioning who Jesus is when we have the luxury of seeing the big picture. Very soon, the disciples will understand it too, and no doubt look back at all they witnessed and experienced and say to themselves, "How could we have been so blind?" Very soon, Jesus is going to break bread with the disciples and say, "Take it, this is my body." I'm sure when he says this, they thought about all the times he had provided bread for them in the past. What can we know of Jesus based on these chapters? He was a rule breaker when confronted with unjust laws and traditions, and he was patient with people who challenged him. He had compassion on those who could not provide for themselves, whatever the reason. We are in a position where we can see the whole picture of who Jesus is laid out for us, but I think that we often see but still don't understand. Are we often, like the crowds, so eager to hear what Jesus said, but not really doing anything about it in our day-to-day lives? When are we like the Pharisees, questioning everything Jesus says and demanding signs from God? Or when are we like the disciples, so slow to learn what Jesus is trying to tell us? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that we can see the full picture of who Jesus is. Please help us to understand what that means for our lives, and help us in our struggle to live lives worthy of Jesus' sacrifice and your grace. Amen. Say thank you to Karina and Trudy for blessing us with the music. It really added something special to the service today. So let's all stand for the benediction and stand for the last song as well. Gentle God, you have come near to us and have shown us your patience, compassion, and love. As we go, O God, give us patience when the people are indifferent to your word. Give us compassion for the needs of the world. And give us love, which reflects your forgiveness and grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Once again, in your blue hymnals, number 395, 395. And we will be singing the verses. I think most of us know them. And in the version we have of in the accompanist book, there is a break in the middle of the verse. Sometimes we sing it with that break, and sometimes we don't. So I'm going to warn you right now, there's a little pause in the middle of the verses.